Welcome to another episode of the Team Turnbuckle Podcast on the IB Network podcast feed. I am your host, Ravishing Ronell Tinsley. With me, as always, Sammy the Shooter Howe. Sammy, how's it going this evening, my man?
It's doing great. We're dealing with the Santa Ana winds here. It's pretty windy, but considering I still have power, I'm not going to complain. Obviously, we send our thoughts and prayers to Texas. And anybody who is interested in mutual aid down there, there are lots of ways to help out. It looks like things are getting better, though.
Awesome. And I do want to thank you for sharing that mutual aid link that had all of those, because I had a few friends on my Facebook feed looking for things like that. So I was able to share that with them. So, like you said, our thoughts and our hearts are out with to the people of Texas. You guys stay strong, and we know you'll get through it. We're from northern states, so winter's nothing to us, but we realize that down south it's a whole nother ball game. And I'm just sorry that the people in charge didn't take the necessary precautions to prevent something like this, especially after we found out that this could have been. But anyway, we're not going to get political on this show. We're going to get back to the good
not
old
not about
Matt.
Regular politics. We're getting to the politics of wrestling.
Chief Keith will not be joining us this evening. Of course, shout out to the head of the table. Unfortunately, the schedules just didn't align this time around, but we've got to keep you guys up, because 1 week and then that's a whole lot of storytelling that we're missing. So we're gonna start off, we're gonna do something a little different this time around, since there was a pay-per-view both last week and this week. So we're gonna instead skip going over the superlatives, and we're gonna start off by recapping that fantastic NXT takeover on Valentine's Day, starting with the women's Dusty Cup finals with Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez going over Ember Moon and Shotzi Blackheart, and which was really a great kickoff match. Ladies, I mean, this entire card, we're going to, go back and forth talking about how great it was. This was, right before the show started, you were saying, and I agreed with, this was definitely one of the best takeovers in a while. So, they really did a fantastic job. But Shotzi Blackheart and Ember Moon did take the defeat. Raquel Gonzalez is just getting more and more impressive, like with each outing, and with her and Dakota Kai winning the Dusty Cup and possibly earning a tag team title match in the near future, I'm almost to the point where I feel like they're setting it up for possibly our first NXT women's tag team champions. First of all, what did you think of the match? And do you think that those two ladies have a shot at actually being our champions?
I hope so. I thought that the match was, as you said, I thought that every match on the show was at least an A. If you want to say, we will do this probably at the end where we pick the best match, but damn, is that hard. I thought that this is great. I thought that as I like to say, I don't remember who I stole this from, but while Ember and Shotzi didn't get the win, they definitely got over. Raquel Diaz came out of that looking like both a star and a monster. When we were talking about, it was about a week ago, 6 days. And then I just thought about it. I was like, man, like the spot with her, the ending where she just trucked Ember Moon, still is in my head. I thought that it was the really amazing thing about it was that I thought the match is going to end about 10 minutes earlier than it did, and it still was okay. Like, there are times where usually when I say that, I'm looking at my watch like, oh man, that's not the ending. Okay, we're as an RKO, and now we have 10 more minutes, but no, they just killed it. I would love to see Raquel and Dakota. I'm trying to think of a way to work in the my whole thing from Raw. but I would love to see them take the title off of Nia and Shayna.
Actually, you know, we can just, instead of going over that later on, foreshadowing, Nia and Shayna did show up on NXT on Wednesday. And since we're not going to be really doing like one of our normal superlatives where we'll be talking about a lot of the weekly shows, I might as well just throw this in right here. And they actually did. I forgot how it was worded, but Raquel did say something about, oh yes, shoving one of those dusty cup boots up her hole.
Well, I thought that other than that line, I thought the promo was honestly pretty atrocious.
It was,
which is like a bummer, but you know, I thought that the aren't they doing, they're gonna do like Shayna versus, or Nia versus Raquel. I mean, I feel like there's something coming that they're promoting. I can't remember the promo. I just remember thinking like the promo was cringy as hell.
It was, and I think like the only Dakota and Shayna's familiarity tried to save it, but I think they could just kind of overdid it. But in the end,
I didn't think that they were really confident in the promo. I thought that it was kind of overly scripted. I will say, I don't know if I've mentioned this on here before, I'm a big Shayna fan because I think that she is the first heel in a long time who I've had a natural heel reaction to. Just like where her title reign, I wanted to end desperately because like I wanted her, I was like, oh God, Shayna's, you know, but I want to see her get her ass kicked. And that's exactly what a heel should do. And it's easy to be, she was just a killing machine. And I thought that, you know, we've talked about it, but I think that she's a great natural heel. I really like her. I would love to see her get a chance to sort of, it kind of bums me out that I think that she and Nia, if you're not going to use them as singles wrestlers, I mean, they would be great as somebody like Carmella, who benefits from having, you know, I'm a big faction fan, or they're not doing any, you know, and now I know this is on SmackDown, but if you had Billy Kay or Peyton Royce as, you know, they needed, you know, sort of were smarmy, you know, the old kind of slimy Ric Flair, modern Miz heels, where you had them as heaters, you know, but what do I know?
So I would love to see a first time NXT women's tag team champion. I think that would just be a good thing for the brand all around, even if it's only a short title reign. I think an actual NXT tag team bringing those titles there would benefit their women's division. And honestly, I wouldn't even be upset that Dakota Kai would be one of those women either, because she's been taking her lumps and putting in the work these past couple of years, even between her injury.
And in fact, I think it'd be a great way to get some NXT people on WrestleMania. You know, I think that we're going to get Keith and I did the booking of that, and I left off, I'm sure that they're going to have a women's tag team match, you know, four corners or something, you know, and everybody into the pool type match to get as many people on as possible. And I'm fine with that. You know, the more people get a WrestleMania payday, the better.
I'm with that. So on to the next, the North American Championship match. My goodness, I gotta say that I was really expecting Kushida to go over, and I, with having that expectation and watching this absolutely fantastic technical match. I mean, the mat wrestling and jiu-jitsu switches were just something to be seen, and it figures that those kind of switches is what led to Gargano getting the pinfall. What was your thoughts on not only the match, where do you think Kushida gets another shot at the North American Championship, or are we going to get somebody else into that picture?
I'm interested. They teased it on Takeover on NXT on Wednesday that it was going to be somebody else. I thought that one of my favorite things about this is my criticism of Gargano matches has been for a while that Gargano is a guy who starts out at a 10. Is it his first match? Are these banger, amazing matches that are just at a fever pitch? And then he wrestles other people again two or three times, and you're trying to top it. And it just almost becomes, for me, over the top. You know, I had a running joke where Johnny Gargano gets shot in the head in a match and then kicks out at 2 9/10. But that was what I liked about the Kushida match. I thought that that was, they left room to build on the next match. My gut says that we're going to get, that Kushida will be involved in the next North American champion match. I don't think it'll be him alone. I feel like it'll be Kushida and Cameron Grimes.
Maybe even a four-way, because it looked Bronson Reed.
I got him, Nick. I'm sorry. I think
okay.
Bronson. Yeah, so thank you for correcting me. Bronson, I can see it being a three-way with Bronson. Because I don't get the sense. Like, I, it seems like the WWE doesn't see Bronson Reed as ready. But I think that having him in there against Kushida and Gargano would be a bang. Again, like, I think that it gives me, and this is blasphemy if you've seen it, but what worked so well about the Samoa Joe, AJ Styles, Chris Daniels, I think it was Chris Daniels, three-way match that was like a five-star in TNA, was that you had these two guys who were real high flyers, and then you had Joe, who was sort of like the big, you know, power base. And I just thought that those kinds of three-ways always work.
Nice, nice. So, you know what? I was actually going to skip the men's Dusty Cup, but, you know, in and of itself, the match was great. It really was between these two tag teams. I mean, I'd probably give that A-, B-plus. Mm-hmm. It was a really good match. I'm not really all that excited about MSK. Maybe it's just because of my unfamiliarity with them. I was a little disappointed that the Grizzled Young Veterans didn't go over, quite honestly.
You know, it's interesting that you say that. I was surprised. I thought that, you know, I thought it was way more likely that Grizzled Young Veterans went over. I was pleasantly surprised by the match. I thought that it was, you know, I thought that they gave it to the team that needed it more. I think that ultimately I could see the Grizzled Young Veterans being the people that take the title off of Oni and Tui. but I could also, you know, if you want Birch and Lorcan to keep the titles and you don't want them to drop to the Dusty Classic winners, I mean, MSK, you're right, don't have the same sort of cred or, you know, experience. And I think that having them lose, not the end of the world, MMS, you know, they get the cred of the Dusty Classic champ title, and they can eat a loss to Oni and Birch, and still, you know, that's still something to keep on their resumes.
Absolutely. I'm almost to the point where I'm thinking that maybe Imperium might be the ones that come back and retake the titles.
Yeah, it's really weird that, the Imperium thing, like, Imperium really works as a heel faction. And but they're also European. It almost, you know, makes me wonder about the Finn connection. I mean, there's a whole bunch of stuff, but yeah, I think you're right. It would be, I could see Imperium coming back. I would also, I mean, love to see Walter wrestle Finn. And that would be which he very well might have. The quarantine has completely melted my brain. And that was actually one thing. I thought that this was the first takeover that felt like a pre-pandemic takeover. There has been, you know, not, and that's not a knock on NXT. You know, God love them. They're doing the best. Everyone's doing the best they can with the hand that they're dealt. I actually really liked the setup. I don't know about you, where you had,
where they get to have the little bit of fans, yeah.
But they sweetened the sound, so it felt more authentic. You know,
The real buzz. You felt it.
Yeah, and I think that is really good for going forward. I think that if they could do that for the WWE, main roster stuff. I get why they don't, obviously, but for NXT, it's great. I think that, and as I said, it felt like the most non-pandemic show that they've done.
So next on the docket was that incredible triple threat match for the women, for the NXT Women's Championship, where Io Shirai, once again, the genius of the sky, pulling off of a high flying maneuver, this time off of one of the lighting scaffolds, which I had to rewind a few times because the way she had sold, the way she fell, I thought she legitimately may have broke her wrist trying to stop her fall. But just an amazing match where I was really thinking that this was going to be the time they were going to let Toni Storm go over. So I was actually pleasantly surprised seeing Io Shirai retain the title. Your thoughts on just another amazing title defense by Io Shirai?
I don't know if it was you or Keith who said that you thought that Io was the best women's wrestler in the world.
That was Keith.
And I disagreed. And at this point, as much as I Asuka and Charlotte might be better big match wrestlers, and even that's debatable, Io is week in, week out, just entertains the hell out of me. And they didn't have, this was the shortest match on the card by 5 minutes.
Oh, and wow.
It was 12 minutes. Everything else was, and you can quibble about it, but for a 12-minute match, maybe match of the night. I mean, I would argue that you could say any match is match of the night, but they really killed it. I thought that Io is just adding on to her legend as women's champion, and you can't knock it. I mean, you can't knock it. I'm thinking that when she does lose it, they should have her lose it to somebody who is, they want to have be their next big deal, because Io at this point has done such a great job of, I don't want to say that there is some of the prestige knocked off of the women's title in NXT, because I don't think that's fair with Charlotte and Rhea and shit. You know, the NXT women's title has always been a big damn deal. Having Charlotte on there, you knew it was never going to be a very long deal, truthfully. But this is the longest title reign since Shayna, where Shayna held it for over a year. And Io has just been great. I love the match. I thought that spot was great.
Mercedes Martinez was also quite impressive. Like, she wasn't, I thought she was just going to be in there as like just an also ran. She actually, for a quick moment, had me thinking that there was a chance that she might have came out of there.
The crazy thing to me is, you know that she's been wrestling for 20 years?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember hearing them talking about that during the broadcast, and remember that on other shows, they had also made mention of that. And it's like, you know, this woman has been paying her dues longer than a lot of these women combined.
I would be shocked if she has not wrestled Sarah Del Rey, who deserves a lot of credit. I think is one of the unsung heroes of the WWE of the last decade, who is the women's wrestling coach in NXT. She is Sarah Del Rey, the never wrestled in the WWE, but was for me the most entertaining women's wrestler in North America from Trish and Lita get a lot of credit, but after her, them, man, Sarah Del Rey was just, if you're listening to this and you can get Shimmer, I think it was Shimmer, was the women's or Ring of Honor women's wrestling stuff. The Women of Honor, Sarah Del Rey, if anything that you can find of her, she's an amazing women's wrestler. She's is an amazing teacher, as we've seen with the women's division just being so great in NXT.
It really has been. And for the, you know, especially this time last year, I was arguing that the NXT women were their women's division was hands down the best, you know, before the call-ups of like Shayna and Bianca and, you know, women of that stature. But yeah, I can see, thanks to that coach description, I can see why.
Well, then, the funny thing is that there was a point where we were all, you know, fretting over it, and they reloaded so rapidly. It was really the nadir of the division, you know, within the last year. And then I was like, well, it's fine. You know, we're just going to come back. And they've been really confident. And EO has just obviously been a great, you know, great champion.
Yes, she has. And you're right. It was what, the summertime that we were talking about, it probably, if we were to go back and listen. But they've really turned it around. It's very exciting. And finally, the men's championship match, Finn Balor and Pete Dunne. You know, I was thinking about it while I was watching the pay-per-view, and I was like, how am I going to describe this? Because all of the mat wrestling that you saw and the jiu-jitsu with Gargano and Kushida was equaled by Dunn and Finn, along with some excellent brutality. Dunn just going crazy on the joint manipulation. I mean, Finn by the end of this match couldn't even do his signature point. He was pointing knuckles at him. Overselling, but it was fantastic. Yeah, I absolutely loved it. But Finn Balor did wind up pulling out a fantastic match. Your thoughts on the match before we go into the post-match antics?
It was one that I watched. I'm not a huge fan traditionally. And this is one area where, when you get into why I talk about like who I'm entertained by rather than who I think is good, is like William Regal is objectively a great wrestler. It's not my cup of tea. I'm cool, you know, and a lot of other people, especially in sort of the internet smart wrestling community, love him. He's just not my thing. I think that, however, Pete Dunne does a great, you know, I love his bruiserweight thing. I love Dunne's, like, he does the European thing, very modernized. I thought that if you were to mash up the best of Japanese strong style, and you're, you know, exactly what you'd expect from a guy whose background with Finn is Japanese strong style, and done with the European style, it's just a great match. They work really well together. One thing that I thought was that I think a lot of us had a lot of high hopes for Finn, and I don't know if he'll ever get back to, and the comparison I'm going to make is as an Eagles fan with Carson Wentz getting traded. I think it was I'm going to have to check when the SummerSlam that Roman Reigns, where Finn won the Undisputed Championship. But that, you know, felt like this moment that was going to be really big. And because I remember that it was that we thought, okay, that was when Finn arrived. We thought that maybe he was going to, let me say we. I thought that it was going to be, it was 2016. Where he won the title from Seth Rollins. Mm-hmm. Wow, this is going to be this is Finn's big deal, and he's never really gotten back there. I think that he's done a really great job of showing why a lot of people, like jerks like me, thought that he might get there. He has had very quietly a great run of matches in NXT. And getting guys over, he got, you know, Kyle O'Reilly, I think, is a legit main event player because of Finn Balor. Pete Dunne, he helped level up. I was surprised, not shocked, that Dunne lost the match. I wondered if Karrion Kross is going to, Karrion Kross seems either earmarked for the main roster or winning the title. But Finn, I mean, I thought that it was a great match. I enjoyed the hell out of it. God love him, as I said, but Finn just takes him. Beating. I mean, that watching that match, I was like, you know, dude, you don't have enough body fat to insulate yourself.
Seriously.
I thought it was a great match. I thought that the mashups of styles, I thought that they had great chemistry together. I would love to see a WrestleMania, you know, if they want to throw the NXT dudes on WrestleMania, if we got a four-way, well, let's get into the aftermatch stuff.
So right as the aftermath, Oney and Tui come out and jump Finn Balor, and coming to the rescue is the Undisputed Era. Undisputed Era started to go into the UE pose just as Balor looked like he was going to go into his finger guns again. He catches the sweet chin music from Adam Cole. This frustrates Kyle O'Reilly, asking him, dude, what the heck is going on? Him and Roddy are kind of arguing, and Cole lays out Kyle O'Reilly as well. Now, it appears that the UE is going to be gone, especially seeing that we don't know if what the time frame is on Bobby Fish. The question here is...
Was he indicted for his role of being at the Capitol? I'm sorry, I know we shouldn't do politics. It's just that, like, that was one of the surprises, was finding out that he was like a big, like, that's like apparently a bugaboo for him. But sorry, go on.
So yeah, is the Undisputed Era finished? Well, it looks like the Undisputed Era is finished. I'll say that. Which way does Roddy Strong go?
Man, I got to be honest with you. He needs to be, like, Roddy's always been a heel to me. He is the heel. He was a heel to me most of the time in Ring of Honor. I think that he is a guy who is a little older. I think he's in his 40s. Great sort of second line. I mean, I'm going to be proven wrong. I'm always wrong about this kind of stuff. He's going to end up being the guy who leads us into like a renaissance of pro wrestling, like the next Rock. But he's going to be a guy who wrestles and really gets I feel like his ceiling is North American title, US title, and a continental title. Not a knock on the guy, but I think that I would love to see, and I've said this for a while, I've been pushing Balor Club. I would love to see Adam Cole, maybe have Adam Cole join the Birch Lorcan Dunn crew and do a Balor Club with Strong, Red Dragon, and Finn. I would be very cool also if they wanted to do Dunn versus Finn versus Cole Taylor versus Riley. Yeah, at WrestleMania. Like, that match would slap.
That, oh god, yeah, god, yeah. I don't see the Adam Cole joining Dunn, Lorcan, and Birch only because of Pat McAfee's quick promo on NXT. So, but then again, it doesn't look like Pat's going to be coming back, so I suppose that actually could happen.
Would McAfee had a promo on Wednesday?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I could also see that being a swerve. I think that eventually what we need to, they're very clearly breaking up the Undisputed Era. What do you think of them, that meaning for them on the main roster? I always thought that for the four of them, the strongest thing would be to be a unit. I could be wrong about that. I think that I could also see that being something that the WWE disagrees with. I think that Adam Cole, assuming that there's not some stigma about his size, really should be a star. I think that he gets pro wrestling in a way that a lot of, you know, that there aren't a lot of people that do. And he's, unfortunately, well, fortunate in the sense that I think that he back a generation ago, he would be in a lot of trouble. In this generation, I think that his size is a detriment, but I think that he is so immensely talented that he can overcome that.
Yeah, now I gotta say, I completely concur with everything you were just saying, because I thought that, and I too am a huge fan of factions and would love to have seen the Undisputed Era as a whole on the main roster, because that's, I believe, also is where their strength would lie.
I think, and I'm with you on the factions thing, I don't know why they moved away from it, because I think it's a great way of, you know, heat by association. So many of their biggest success, you know, The Rock got over in large part it gives you something to play off of. And what I was getting at with The Rock was that so much of his getting over was sort of being the star screen to Farooq. And I don't know if that was ever the intention. I know that there was a lot of hype on The Rock when he came in. There was, but man, he was so good with, like, remember when he gave, when they kicked Farooq out, but he gave Farooq the picture of himself. Like, he, do you remember that, that promo where he, it's such a great, and this is the kind of thing you can do with factions, where he gave the, he gave like Mark Henry, like a Rolex, and D'Lo Brown, like a very expensive jacket. And
oh, yeah, then, yeah, like, yeah,
best
yeah.
of all for you, Farooq, it's a picture of The Rock.
Yes, yes, such yes.
Dickhead move. But that was, and, but I'm looking forward to the, I think the feud with involving Kyle O'Reilly, Finn, and Adam Cole, like, the matches should be great. That's you know, even if the story isn't great, that'll be the thing that really gets it going.
You know, like we were saying, none of the shows were really fantastic top to bottom. Honestly, I was most interested in the majority of what happened on NXT just for the follow-up to the pay-per-view. But we're going to touch on a couple of topics from the weekly shows that advance a few storylines. Edge showing up on both Raw and SmackDown. I think that pretty much instantly eliminates the fact that there will be no Edge for the NXT Championship at WrestleMania, which I'm totally fine with. He dropped really fantastic. I mean, he was all over the place. You know, on SmackDown, he got to do a lot of backstage interviews, just talking to a bunch of the guys, giving a bunch of rubs to guys like Cesaro, Daniel Bryan, and, you know, basically scouting out his options for who his opponent for the main event will be. I had just completely loved it. Oh, I had also loved when he was talking to The Miz on Raw, and he was like, you're coming out here talking about what you're gonna do, you're playing old maid while everyone else is playing poker. I just thought that was absolutely hilarious. Where do you think, well, we already know that definitely Edge is going to be waiting until after we see what happens at the Elimination Chamber. At this point, is it going to be the red brand or the blue brand that he attempts to main event for?
Good question. I have to be honest with you. This is a storyline that I think is wearing a little thin for me. Like where the Roman did a great job. I was pleased about that. Obviously I thought Edge did about as well as could be considered, you know, just cause they're having him come out and do the same thing over and over. I'm really hoping that they advance the story after the show is done. I think that my gut, you know, we've been over this. My gut is that he will wrestle let me rephrase that. My hope is that he'll wrestle McIntyre. My gut is that it's going to be Roman. That's why they're doing they're going to do Sheamus McIntyre at Mania, and then, or they're going to have somebody come in to be a surprise for McIntyre, and then they're going to do Edge Roman. Cause that feels like what they're setting up, but I could be wrong.
I too am, in as much as I enjoyed that promo that I just spoke about, hoping that they push it. I'm hoping that it even happens possibly during the Elimination Chamber or walking away from the Elimination Chamber, that he finally decides and possibly attacks maybe Roman Reigns. That's honestly what I'm hoping for.
Yeah. Something.
Let's see. We had actually covered the women's tag title picture from the NXT side during Bayley's new Ding Dong Hello show.
Great, by the way.
It really was. Was it me or like did Bayley look like a much hotter like Ricky Lake?
She's just so good. Like she's such a. It's so cool to see like these performers who seem like very decent, good people be very successful. And yeah, I'm with you. She's like that was the, I was getting some mid-90s vibes from her, but she did such a great job with that. Every, you know, inhabiting that segment so well and getting over, just, I felt like everything got over.
Use the door. it was really fantastic. But after that fantastic segment, we had a Reginald come out and do something very uncharacteristic, where he is talking up everyone except for the person he is sommeliering for.
I have to be honest with you. That was the first intergender match that I can remember on WWE.
Yeah, I believe you're right.
A long time.
I was, because Cindy was even like, wait a minute, a guy is wrestling? I'm like, well, considering that he is almost the smallest person in that entire ring, except next to Sasha, I guess they're giving it a go at intergender matches here. So,
the one thing that actually, like, and obviously you know where my brain went when I was like, they were like, we need a third black person to wrestle in this tag. And they're like, we only have Reginald. Get him out there. yeah, I thought it was weird. I don't know why Reginald was like, they're doing that thing like with him and Sasha Banks where he seems to have like a crush on her. And I'm guessing they're doing it to set up a swerve against Carmella, but Carmella versus Sasha just doesn't feel like a Mania worthy women's match. No offense to either person. It feels like a thing you do on the way to Mania.
Especially considering how much she's been just an afterthought after she's lost to lost her title shot at the Rumble. So yeah, like I don't really understand that part. I do like the fact that he's did his little part of trying to draw heat between Bianca and Sasha. I have a two-part question because, you know, Sasha and Bianca now have a tag team title opportunity coming up this Sunday at the Elimination Chamber. Do they win the tag titles, and when does Sasha turn heel? Or at least do something heelish towards Bianca.
So here's where my concern is. What they're going to do is that, because God, the WWE loves their like unlikely tag team partners, is that they're going to have Sasha and Bianca win the titles. And then at Fastlane, they're going to do the Gonzalez Storm match, and Bianca's going to turn heel on Sasha there, or Sasha's going to turn heel on Bianca there, one or the other, and that's going to set up the WrestleMania match, which it's fine, don't get me wrong, I get why they're doing it. It's just kind of a bummer. Like it makes me feel like the WWE doesn't really respect the women's tag titles, which I mean they don't, but you don't have to rub it in my face. I could be very surprised here, but my hope is that's not what happens, but we will see.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, because on one hand, I was thinking about, well, Sasha will be a two-belt champion again, or no, this will be her first time being a two-belt champion, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait, was she the... Because it was Bayley.
Yeah, no, they were. Yeah, that's right. They held all. They did hold all the gold for a short period.
Yeah.
Okay. So. But yeah. Unfortunately, I'd be more when it comes to the women's tag title. I'd be more inclined to go with what we were talking about earlier, because I would rather see Raquel and Dakota actually have a shot at and winning those titles, and. I don't know. I feel like they can do something a little better in order to build the heat towards these two, or just let it be that Bianca just says, you know what? Yeah, I'm calling you out and I'm taking your title. No offense, but it's my time.
Would be refreshing. Like, it would be nice to see somebody come out and just be like, I want to be the best. Cool. You know?
because it's weird, you know, like we're starting to actually see a little bit of more of face on face and heel on heel things without any kind of, you know, added layers to it behind it. It's just, hey, this is what business dictates.
Yeah, I would be excited. I would be, you know, I'm excited for that match anyway, just because I think they're both very talented. I think it's going to be great in rings, you know, hopefully. And I would love to see Bianca get that moment, as, you know, the EST gets her WrestleMania moment.
Absolutely. I'm absolutely waiting to pop like crazy for her and for her getting her moment. So the last thing that we're going to touch on before we preview the Elimination Chamber is the AEW world title picture. And all of a sudden, this has turned out to be very spicy. At the end of the six-man match between the Butcher and the Blade and Eddie Kingston versus Lance Archer, what was it? It was Penta and John Moxley. John Moxley again gets jumped by the Good Brothers, and Kenny Omega comes out and says, "We're gonna do, if we do a wrestling match, you'll come back. If we do a hard, a cage match, was it? I don't remember exactly. It was like, you'll come back. So the only way we're gonna do this is we're going to have a world title match with barbed wire ropes." Now, this is going to be a first for any major promotion to have this kind of world title
barbed wire rope sporting ring death match. I mean, they really. Sorry, go. I didn't mean to interrupt. Are you excited about this?
I'm interested, but for a world title, it just, I don't know. It just doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel right that even if Moxley were to become champion again, I just don't feel like it would be right to do it with this type of stipulation match.
If Moxley becomes champion again, I might boycott AEW. I think that, and honestly, probably the Kenny match that I've enjoyed the least in AEW was the first match that they had. Mm-hmm. It was overly long. I thought that it was over the top. It didn't do it for me. The idea of them upping the stakes and doing the same thing with barbed wire, it just, I'm over Moxley. I feel bad saying this. He just doesn't do it for me. There are so many other people that I'm excited to see Kenny wrestle, that I'm kind of viewing this as a match. Like, okay, let's get this out of the way. Like, fine, Kenny's going to win, whatever. I'm not going to get the pay-per-view, probably. I just have no desire to watch that kind of match. It's not what I think Kenny Omega is best at. I think that it's kind of garbage wrestling. It's garbage wrestling. I think that it's setting up the idea of this really brutal match because WWE doesn't do it, obviously. It's another way to differentiate yourself, but it just seems needlessly violent. And I thought that they had moved away from intentionally bleeding, but it's barbed wire. Like, how are you gonna, it's a kind of wrestling that I think is better left in the past, and that I'm just not excited for, and that I find ultimately, you know, great, Kenny can say that he beat Mox in his own match, but And I'm sure there are people who enjoy it. I have no, you know, no judgment there, but it's just not my cup of tea.
Yeah, unfortunately, me either. Honestly, and I don't know if it's just me, the last few weeks for AEW Dynamite has kind of fallen flat, and even heading into Revolution, which is coming up, there's really not much that it got me excited. I mean, I guess except for the fact that MJF and Jericho weaseled their way into a tag team championship match. with the Young Bucks. Unfortunately, Dynamite has been a little bit lackluster to me. And honestly, the numbers have proven it. They're down. They only beat out NXT by, I believe, 30 to 50,000 this week, whereas usually they're at least 100, 150K in front.
I think my opinion is that they've done the right thing, that the first year they've done a really good job of laying the groundwork. We're now into the second year. We're getting close to year and a half. I am ready to have, you know, Moxley is the first guy who I would say is a quote AEW guy as the champ. I'm sorry, not Moxley. Omega is the first guy who's an AEW guy as the champ in a way that Jericho and Moxley just weren't. I'm excited for Kenny Omega to get the chance to run with the ball. And I'm hoping, especially once we're starting to move towards having fans there again, that we will really get the opportunity to see Kenny shine, and the promotion will reflect that. I think that you need to get past Moxley, though. I think that we're closing the book on that, and I'm excited to see where it goes. I'm with you. I'm not hugely excited about Revolution. I've been pretty clear I'm not going to get the pay-per-view. But I hope that it's successful. I just don't want to watch two guys, you know, fight with barbed wire, especially, you know, when the last thing was so much. You see, there are people who are going to enjoy it. I'm glad that you enjoy it, but an exploding barbed wire death match is just like you putting a hat on a hat. let me say, actually, there's one thing that we left off. If we had done the superlatives, I thought that the match between Serena Deeb and Rio, was it Rio?
Yeah.
I thought that was a match of the year candidate. I thought that I wish that there were more AEW women's matches on the show. I think that having only one women's match on the show is kind of lame and easy. The argument, I'm sure, would be like, well, people aren't over, but people aren't going to get over if you don't show them. I would absolutely. I thought that match was amazing. I thought it was a pay-per-view quality match. And I think hats off to both those women for what was a hard-hitting great match.
Do you think that there's a chance that Rio gets her title back?
No. I think that no, I just don't. Sorry. Do you?
No, I don't. But it seems that with it being one of the few matches that actually airs on Dynamite, that they might be showing their hand a little bit. But then again, we do have, if I'm not mistaken, the other two matches will be on next week with between Anna Jay and Ty Conti and goodness. My mind just went blank. Where's the other two women on the North American bracket? Not Nyla Rose and Dr. Britt Baker, of course.
Yeah, I think it's way more likely that it's Britt Baker who's wrestling and gets the title. And in part, to Britt's credit, she's done great character work and really leveled up as a wrestler. In my opinion.
And you're totally right, especially now that they've given her her own backstage segment, which I actually love that, you know, that caused the heat, you know, between this Shaq and Cody Rhodes thing, which, again, as much as I am attracted to and love seeing Jade Cargill, I really not excited about this match here.
I think that I'm a fan of it because if you're going to get, it's the same thing that I said about Mike Tyson. You can have celebrities come on the show. The reason why Mike Tyson worked so well in 1998 was that the WWE was putting on some of the best episodic television of all time. There it is. If you have a great show around to get the eyes on it, great, have a celebrity on. If you have crap, as we've seen with the WWE over the years, you're not going to get people to stick around. So I think having Shaq on is a good idea. I'm not excited about the match in and of itself, but I'm excited about what it could mean for AEW.
That's true. I can see your point there, because that's going to definitely bring in a bunch of basketball / wrestling fans who will at least, you know, maybe guys who hadn't watched wrestling in a while and like, whoa, Shaq's going to wrestle. Well, let's see what happens.
Yeah. I mean, this isn't WWE. You know, I'm all for that being successful. I might be critical of AEW, and I'm definitely a WWE mark. I admit that. AEW being successful to me is they're not going to put the WWE out of business, I don't think. Famous last words. But I would be absolutely fine. Like, AEW being successful is only good for the wrestling business, and I want them to be successful.
Oh my gosh. That's a good segue into, and I'm sorry, I didn't even have this in the workup, that there was something about Tony Khan saying that the door is open in Jacksonville for WWE to come in. Now, we know that this isn't happening and likely isn't happening soon, but considering the fact that Tony has already reached across the aisle with NWA, Impact, and now NJPW, it gives me hope that a fully working relationship between all the major promotions can eventually happen in the next few years.
I don't think it will happen as long as Vince McMahon is alive. I don't think that Vince wants to acknowledge any competition. I think that Vince sees himself as having killed his competition in 2000. The fact that something has come back offends him. I think that he wants to be the king of the mountain, and I don't think that he will work with any other wrestling promotion as equals, the way that New Japan, Impact, and have. I can't see Vince treating anything. You know, he works with Evolve and that sort of thing, but those are subordinate promotions. He is not going to work on it. And especially I'm reminded of when Ted Turner, you know, he tells that story all the time where Ted Turner calls him, Vince, I'm in the wrestling business. Good job, Ted. I'm in the entertainment business. It's like, he's not going to work with, and maybe Triple H will, but even then, if I was somebody who had, if I worked at USA, if I worked at Fox, if I was an executive, I would put the kibosh on it. Like, you want your people to go over to a network that we compete with on a weekly basis and help them out? No, the fuck you're not. And Vince, we saw it with WCW, we saw it with ECW. He doesn't see anything on his level. Kenny Omega, something crazy could happen. Kenny Omega could sign with the WWE. Kenny Omega is not going to the WWE and going to be a huge deal. There is the occasional outlier with AJ Styles, but even AJ Styles came in and had to sort of pay his WWE dues. Kenny Omega might not have to go to NXT. Kenny Omega absolutely would not have the rocket strapped to his ass. He might probably put over Roman Reigns first, just like AJ did, to show, hey man, this is WWE. You're not on that level. Mm. This is my two cents. I mean, it's a nice thing for Tony Khan to say, but it's like me saying that I'm willing to throw it to Beyonce. Like, yeah, absolutely. I'm sure I am. It doesn't mean like she has no interest. It's not going to happen, but you know, bully for me for saying it.
Good point. Okay, we'll leave it at there, and let's try to get through this Elimination Chamber preview fairly quickly. Starting off with the women's tag team title match. Actually, we don't even really have to, considering we've already touched on what we think is going to happen.
I've already depressed everyone.
What's that?
I've already depressed everyone.
Oh, that's unlikely. But I am hoping that some way, somehow, Shayna and Nia do wind up retaining. And as much as I love Bianca Belair and I want to see her wearing gold, I don't want to see her for her first championship being the women's tag title.
If they don't want to have Nia and Shayna lose, do exactly what I was saying about the Tony Raquel thing and just do it here. Have something happen, have some miscommunication, and have Bianca and maybe Sasha does. There's some miscommunication they lose, and Bianca beats the crap out of Sasha. Great, there you have your heat.
Cool, cool. We didn't touch on the Raw Women's title, and if I remember correctly, we do not actually have a replacement to challenge Asuka here. I feel incredibly horrible that the Raw Women's title is really the redheaded stepchild of all of the titles in WWE right now.
Single titles, yeah. It's a bummer. It's not valued. I don't know why they seem to not value Asuka. They don't seem to see her on the level of somebody like Charlotte or obviously Becky Lynch, but just treat it as an afterthought. This match even was more about the feud between Charlotte and Asuka. It's just profoundly depressing.
It really is. Asuka, again, she's got the title, and yet they're still underusing her. It's crazy.
And she's been the champion for 6 months.
Then 3 months before that.
Yeah, she'd been she's been for 9 of the last 10 months. She's been the champion, and then they're just like, meh.
It started off with her first few months and leading into her dropping it for a quick spell to Sasha Banks. It did mean something, especially her being the one taking it off of Bayley, and it's a darn shame.
I will say the one thing that I would be really hyped about is if the WWE is best when they're forced to go outside of their plan, I could see us getting, maybe they'll replace it with nothing. It's entirely possible. I could also see them just putting on an absolute banger, having Asuka go out there and be like, Asuka, wrestle, I don't know, some random WWE women's wrestler, and having like a 20-minute match. They're like, wow, that was great. That's why Asuka's the best. Or they have, maybe they beat Io Shirai, anybody. I would just be excited to watch them wrestle. Oh, watch Asuka have some
God. Great match. Asuka and Io Shirai. That would be amazing. So next up, we have the triple threat match for the U.S. title between the champion Bobby Lashley facing the challengers Riddle and Keith Lee. I feel that this is the time where they're going to put some gold on Keith Lee. And I think that somehow this works with Riddle taking the pin. Is there any excitement for you for this match? And is there any chance to you that Lashley drops the strap?
Low key, I think this could be match of the night. I'm really excited for this, actually. Yes, I think there's a chance Lashley drops it. I could see us getting a fuck finish that leads to a WrestleMania match involving these three, which I would be fine with. But yeah, I would absolutely love to see, Keith Lee get the title beating Riddle. I would be fine with, I think that you're right. I think that's the finish, is that somebody besides Lashley takes the pin, and that's what sets up the rematch.
Do you think Lashley gets a chance at the world title within this calendar year?
Yes. Lashley has been rehabbed with having MVP who, pardon the pun, obviously has been an MVP. I think Lashley is a guy who had similar issues to Brock Lesnar, which is that Lashley looked like a killer until he opens his mouth. And, what was it when Finley, I'm going to, that little bastard, it was like, not the voice you want out of your, the guy who looks like he could, and let me go further. Doesn't look like Bobby Lashley could rip my arms off and beat me to death with them. And then like make me apologize for, inconveniencing him by having him rip my arms off. But having MVP talk for him is it just helps him. I would be fine. I don't know if he's yet a guy who I could see carrying the strap, but I would be fine watching him wrestle McIntyre. I'd enjoy that.
Yeah. Yeah. I would love to see him eventually get a chance. He he's again one of those guys, he's kind of stuck where, like I was talking about Cesaro earlier, whereas in as much as I want him to have a championship, I don't know if it'll look right unless they set the circumstances in the story up.
It's a little different because Cesaro is a face right now, but I think that Lashley is somebody who, we saw it with Kofi, you just need to be in the right place at the right time and catch fire. I think that Cesaro could have that. I think that, not that Cesaro, I do think it will be like Kofi, where if there was somebody who is more important, you know, unfortunately it was really depressing when Brock Lesnar came in and squashed before the network graphic went off. I see that as sort of less Lashley than Cesaro. I think Lashley's actually weirdly the guy that the WWE of the people that we're talking about that they could see as a potential main eventer. Long term, I think that they wanted him to be a main eventer. I think he's worked better at earning that recently.
But, you know, you had mentioned before, you know, Lashley's in his mid-40s. So, but, you know, but then again, with the insane physique that he still carries, I could easily see him wrestling another 10, 15 years.
I don't think, knock wood, has had major issues with injuries, which would allow him to extend his career.
So moving on, there's the SmackDown Elimination Chamber, which will set up the chance for a opportunity for the Universal Championship on this very same card. Out of those gentlemen who are going to be face in this Elimination Chamber, now let me list them all off real quickly. There's Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, King Corbin, Daniel Bryan, Cesaro. Who am I missing?
No. Uso, Owens, Corbin.
Jey Uso is who I was missing. Out of those competitors, who do you think is going to come out of this Elimination Chamber only to lose to Roman Reigns later?
This is where it gets a little interesting. I wondered, the ones who interested me the most were Jey Uso, Cesaro, and Daniel Bryan. Kevin Owens, we've seen they've done that to death a million times. I would be really interested to see whoever wins then gets the beatdown from Jey Uso, and then Roman comes out and maybe wrestles him immediately. Or this will be the show opener and they'll get to go back later. I, as I said, this feels like they're telegraphing that it's going to be Roman versus Edge, because why wouldn't you do the men's, you know, why wouldn't you do the Raw one as well in the Elimination Chamber?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a little interested to see where that goes, but I could be wrong. I mean, it could just be that Sheamus wins or whatever it is in the men, and we'll get to the Raw one. But yeah, I mean, I don't think that they're going to do. The crazy thing would be for somebody to win the Universal Championship through screwery. You know, Cesaro, I'm just using Cesaro because this is very unlikely to happen. And I think I want Keith's head to explode when I suggest this. Let's say Cesaro wins the Elimination Chamber match. He gets jumped after the match. He has the hope spot. Jey Uso comes, you know, Heyman distracts. Uso gets involved and costs Roman the title. And then at Fastlane, Roman wins the title. You know, something like that. Or Edge spears Roman and costs him the title. Whatever you want to do. Give Cesaro the title for a cup of coffee. He loses it next month decisively just to say he's a world champ. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think you're right. Who do you see winning this and then lose? You know, what do you see happening?
Honestly, out of the way it's been set up, it sounds most like what you had said. I would love to also see Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns. Like, we've been like begging for a face Bryan heel Roman match. this would be a perfect time to be able to throw that in, maybe even set up the possibility of a rematch at Fastlane. But unfortunately, I feel that the big dog is going to come out at the end of the night. By hook or by crook, Jey Uso will come in and do something. I would love it that if it were Daniel Bryan or Cesaro, that possibly Kevin Owens would just still be so pissed off at Roman Reigns that just to help get it off of him would be enough of satisfaction for him.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you.
So let's move on to the WWE title Elimination Chamber match. The champion, Drew McIntyre, will be defending against, well, The Miz backed out of it. Kofi Kingston's getting another shot. AJ Styles. How? See, this is why I should write stuff down, because I went blank again.
It's Drew, AJ, Hardy, Orton, Sheamus, and Kingston.
So out of those, I would love to see Kofi Kingston catch lightning in a bottle, but I really don't see it happening. It's just, I honestly feel that if there were anyone who were to take the championship off of Drew at this moment, the betting favorite would be either Sheamus, as you were saying, or possibly AJ Styles.
It's interesting that you say Styles. I would have said Orton because of the Fiend feud. So if they want to do the, have them wrestle at Mania and have Fiend take the title off of Orton. I also think it's possible that Sheamus isn't the one who takes the pin, that it's somehow, I'm sorry, not that, Drew loses the title without losing the title, and there's a match next month, you know, Orton wins it, and then you have Sheamus, the Fiend cost Orton the title, and then you have Sheamus at Mania. But I really don't know. I'm fairly certain that we know who's going to win this.
Yeah, I feel that it's really going to be Drew. Honestly, back of my mind, I am really kind of hoping for a successful Miz cash in.
Yeah, I would be perfectly fine with that. It would be perfect. I also would be fine with Edge somehow getting involved. I mean, that's the other interesting part, is that you could have that. It would be interesting. I mean, that's the other concerning idea, that they could do continue the never ending, you know, apparently Edge is going to only come back and feud with Orton and set that up for Mania if they wanted to do that.
And well, we pretty much got to the end of it, because like we said, we gave our picks as to what's going to happen with the Universal title. I still feel that Roman Reigns does leave this pay-per-view as the Universal champion. I'm hoping that there's maybe, I do hope that honestly that we get one of the SmackDown competitors possibly to face Roman. I really don't know who we can go with right now, or in the first, you know, in the next month or two, as a viable candidate to really take that strap off of him. Is there anyone that you can see that can really has a chance at taking the belt from him, at least at WrestleMania?
No, I maybe Edge, but even then it's a little hard. I think that you could have somebody, it just would feel cheap. I think that if you want to have, I would be fine with Daniel Bryan. I think that much more likely is that he loses it in some goofy way and then gets it back to give somebody a rub, to give, you know, like I said, with the Cesaro situation. No one has gotten over to the level of that. I'm a little bummed that we're not getting Big E versus Apollo, because I thought that Apollo really had his best character moment at the WWE on Friday.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Speaking of quick heel, speaking of heel turns from Friday night, I mean, we got a heel turn from Otis. I mean, I know he's not a major character, but do you think doing heelish work will advance his career any?
I think that Otis is a great example of the guy who would be really benefited by the WWE investing in the tag division, because I think that Otis and Chad Gable together are a really interesting pairing. I think that they're guys who have shown the ability to get over, and they're guys who entertain me individually. I breaking up Heavy Machinery, if it was largely a joke, was kind of a bummer for Otis's career. But if you're going to do, you know, if you're committed to these guys only as tag team wrestlers, invest in the tag team division. Because I think that they're really talented performers. I think Chad Gable is hugely underrated as an in-ring performer, but the character work that he does and that Otis does, I think that having them together as a, you know, Otis has been treated like a joke, and I get why. I obviously it's gotten him some success, but it would be really cool to see him sort of be like, I'm a joke. You know, everyone wants to laugh at the fat guy. I'm the guy who's going to truck people. And I'm here with a badass Olympic level wrestler, and y'all are going to show me some respect. I just think that that's beneficial. I think that that would be great for him, and I would love it. I was actually kind of excited to see Gable drop that awful Shorty G thing and stop dressing like when the Ninja Turtles used to. Remember when the Teenage Ninja Turtles action figures, they're like, they're basketball players now. Like, that was always how I felt Gable dressed. And so if they want to have Gable come out there and just be like a badass, because American Alpha was great. If they want, you know, obviously, I don't think that as an in-ring performer, Otis is as good as Jason Jordan. But having more than two tag teams at a time for the WWE is really good.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited for it. And I was actually I might be wrong for this, and I'm sorry to say this, Mysterio family. I was kind of happy to see him drop that splash on Rey. I thought it was actually kind of cool.
Yeah, Rey Mysterio is I think we've talked about this, such a iconic performer who doesn't necessarily get the credit for being an iconic performer. Mm-hmm. He just, like, if you were watching in 96 when he came in and did stuff that, like, broke my brain.
Oh my God.
I've talked about that he retroactively ruined Brian Pillman for me, because I started watching when Rey Mysterio, he was like the first high flyer that I remembered, and I was really intensely watching wrestling at that point. Like, I was like 6 when Brian Pillman was a huge deal. I was 10 when Rey Mysterio was. Your brain's just a little bit more. And so then when people were like, oh, you should watch Brian Pillman, I was like, oh, he's doing a cross body block. Rey Mysterio is doing a flip where he flips through a guy's legs, goes completely through, and grabs those legs to pin them. Like, cute. But yeah, Rey Mysterio is a great babyface. I think that Rey's role in his older age is kind of being the guy who gets people over by getting his ass kicked. It's fine. It's great. It's what face does.
Absolutely. And honestly, you know, for a little bit, I was, you know, kicking myself for speaking ill of Dominic, and it's just, you know, the kid's just trying to cut his teeth, you know. He fortunately got himself a little further in the line just because of the genetic straw he drew, but you can see that the kid is definitely working his craft. He's not taking this for granted at all.
No, and I don't think that he's gotten a outsized push other than not having to go to NXT. I think is more of a detriment. I think that getting to go and wrestle and sort of work your way up, but he's really done fine. I mean, he's not Eric. Feel bad, poor Eric Watts. He's not Eric Watts. You know, he's not Kurt Angle in terms of picking it up, but, you know, in terms of being somebody's son, he's. I would put him on the upper level of second generation stars that we've seen. You know, he's fine. I don't think that he is, but for a guy who's been wrestling for about a year now, yeah, he's great.
Just a little over, yeah.
And
yeah, I think, you know, good for him.
Yeah.
Well, we've gotten to the end of our show. Is there anything you want to plug before we get out of here?
Yes. You mentioned the mutual aid link that I sent. And as we enter our second year of COVID stuff, there's a website called itsgoingdown.org, all one word. They have anti-fascist, anarchist type website. Don't let that bother, you know, if you're not politically into that, that's fine. They have a COVID mutual aid for everyone's area. If you're struggling, there's no shame in it. There's been a lot of difficulty this year. Mutual aid is great. You can, you know, if you need supplies, you can get supplies. I would check them out. They're a great organization. I would also plug the IBN network itself. I've really been enjoying the WandaVision follow-up podcast with RC and Keith. That's part of my Friday routine. I stay up until midnight on Thursday. I watch WandaVision. I get up in the morning on Friday. I check out Reddit, and then I listen to the podcast when it comes out. The All-Star package is $5 a month. It pays for itself. It keeps the lights on. Highly recommend it. What about you?
Yeah, totally wanted to back you on the IB network, and just great stuff. Chief is back with Actively Lazy, with the Backdoor podcast. They've been really, really starting to get into it with the golf game. Baseball's right around the corner. So, you know, look for that, of course. The Mod Pod with Actively Lazy and his roommate. I can't wait for their next episode. But yeah, the IB Network podcast feed. As always, official Reynold Tinsley on Instagram. Make your appointments at harvestcreditors.com. If you have any issues on your credit report, you just need to get your credit score higher, or you're looking to make a major purchase in 2021, please contact me. If you mention the Team Turbuckle podcast, save $100 on starting your services, including the ability to write your living will, trust, and power of attorney. And with that, this has been another edition of the Team Turnbuckle podcast. For our brother, Chief Keith Fleming, for the shooter, Sammy Howe, this is Ravishing Reynold Tinsley, and we will catch up with you guys next week. See ya.